The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Welcome aboard the good ship Radio Today. I'm Trevor Dan, and this week, a subject close to all our hearts, the next generation. Graham Bryce is the Group MD Place for North England and Scotland for Bauer Radio, and he's part of the team that is extending the Bauer Scottish Academy nationwide. Graham, what's the Bauer Academy designed to achieve?
Well, essentially, it's a centre of excellence. Really, we want to create what we think is a unique educational experience. It combines a very strong academic core to it, but marries that with practical vocational experience in a live environment, be that a radio station, a TV station, in amongst our magazines. So we think this is the first sort of place of its kind that is born out of academia, but provides that amazing vocational experience you just can't get from a purely academic course.
So it's not designed simply to help Bauer recruit new people to work for it. It is genuinely working across all media, is it?
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, this is not a radio academy. This is a media academy. So the people that we have working with us have worked in television. They're journalists. They've crossed all spheres of digital media, radio production. So it really spans all aspects of media. Obviously, there is a desire within our business to bring forward the next generation. And obviously, we will use this as an opportunity to find and create and train what we think will be the best talent that we may want to use in our business going forward. But clearly, there's a wider remit as well from that.
You mentioned the word academy. I mean, we've already got the BBC Academy, we've got Global's Academy, we've got the Radio Academy, though that's something completely different. What do you think is special about your academy? Is it the fact that it's got this academic basis?
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely think this is unique. I mean, we've looked at all those other academies, obviously, and I don't think anything in the UK comes close to what we're trying to offer here. Our director of the academy, Courtney McLeod, is a professor from a professorship in terms of, she came from Napier University. She's a visiting professor at a university in Italy, and she is the backbone of this academy. So it starts from a very core academic background about how do you deliver an academic based training, but marry that with how does it work in the real world. And I don't think any of the other academies that I've seen out there has that unique combination.
I'm quite interested in how it compares to a university course in radio. You know, if I'm an 18, 19-year-old school leaver, why would I be more interested in Bauer's Academy than perhaps going to an ordinary university to do media production, radio production, journalism, one of those kind of courses?
Well, we don't necessarily see ourselves competing with universities and colleges, to be honest. We see ourselves as complementary. So because there's such a varied degree of courses you can come on what we call a media week sort of tester. So you can come along for a week and you can look at all aspects of media, whether it be production, journalism, presentation, production. And at the end of that week, you'll get a pretty good feel for what things either you're interested in or that you're good at. And then on the back of that, you could then go to a university and college and specialise in something, or you can go off and do something else. So it has this kind of broad remit of giving people a taste. And then if they get a taste and then they want to go specifically into a journalism course or a video production course or a radio presentation course, then you can do off the back of that. So it's very much a kind of a pick and choose. You build your own training from that point of view, and you can develop it over a course of time. Whereas, you know, with universities and colleges, of course, you spend a lot of time. You've chosen one thing and you do that over a specific period of time. But we see this as very much complementary, hence why we've partnered with Salford University in Manchester, Napier University in Edinburgh. So we see this as collaborative.
And are you working with your, as it were, former colleagues in Bauer magazines?
Absolutely. So you know, Bauer sees this academy as developing long-term across all aspects of what BAR does. It started in radio, so it's a radio project, but it started even within the radio division as a multimedia academy. So, as I say, we've got journalists in there already, and we're talking to the magazine division about expanding it into there pretty quickly.
What's really exciting about this, I think, is that you do think it's worth doing. You know, I mean, I spend some time with students, and mostly what they say is, well, there are no jobs. And, you know, particularly in commercial radio, there's so much more syndication and consolidation that we don't think that there's a career for us here. I think what you're saying is actually, hang on a minute, if you broaden this out and talk about multimedia and not just radio, there are a lot of opportunities.
Oh, 100%. And not just that, but we, you know, like any business, the issue that we have is not necessarily lack of jobs. It's lack of people and talent. It's what we're finding. So we sit here, and again, I don't say this lightly. I think BAR in the radio division, you know, we have a different model to some of our competitors. That's not right or wrong. It's just a different model. But in that model, we need more talent in more locations than maybe some of our competitors. So we need to find that new talent and we need to bring it through. So not only is there opportunity within our core business, but we're also expanding, like every business is, into a multimedia business. So how do we develop, bring through talent, expand in online and digital and video production in television or whatever that may be? And we need to have people skilled in that, not just in the classroom, but also through practical vocational training.
I'm really interested in that because it's my sense that the multimedia opportunities in local and regional information, broadcasting, if you like, journalism, if you like, have perhaps been ignored by some of your competitors who have thought that only big is beautiful. And you've divided your business into passion and place. And you are keen on keeping your stations and therefore everything that surrounds them as local as you can, aren't you? That is, I guess, the big difference between you and global.
Yeah, I mean, our place portfolio, put simply, will remain a locally branded, local content business because our strategy is very simple. We believe that the local brands and the local content create a deeper connection with our audience and our customers than our competitors, and therefore it gives us more listening and more interaction and more response from the radio than maybe some of our competitors. That's our strategy. And we see that as a very, very long-term strategy, and clearly that strategy has to be multimedia long-term. You know, we have all been probably slower than most to take up that multimedia baton, but it is very much in our focus for the next 5, 10, 20 years.
And I guess what you're saying is, it's not just a radio business with some multimedia bolted on. It's a multimedia business of which radio is a component.
Yeah, long term, you know, our local brands, be that Key 103 in Manchester, be it Clyde in Glasgow, be it Metro in Newcastle, we want them to be the leading multimedia brands in the localities.
How did you get Pixie Lott involved, Graham, as your ambassador for the academy?
We just approached her. You know, Pixie's bang on the right age profile for this sort of thing. She's very approachable. She believes in training. She believes in developing talent. And as soon as we approached her, she absolutely just said she'd love to do it.
So there'll be people listening to this thinking this could be for me. How do they find out more?
Well, there's a website, of course. So it's a brand new website. It's got all the information on there, how to apply, how to look, what courses we're running, when they're running. And go on there, and also through Go Think Big, of course, our partnership with O2.
Graham Bryce, thank you very much for joining us on the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. Here's Roy Martin with this week's news.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Big stories this week include the expansion of the Heart brand to former Real Radio stations. The launch took place at 6 a.m. on the 6th of May, adding another 2.3 million listeners to Heart, making it clearly the biggest commercial radio brand in the UK with over 9 million listeners. Capital FM has also grown this week with a new station in North Wales and the North West. It replaced Heart on the former Marcher Group frequencies, if you can remember that far back. And BBC Radio 2's Eurovision pop-up station is on air throughout the Eurovision weekend, 8th to the 11th of May, on digital radio. Graham Norton's regular weekly show will be simulcast on the station from 10 till 1 on Saturday morning. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radio Moment!
It's 27 years this week since a radio experiment. Capital first split its AM and FM transmitters. Until then, they'd carried the same programmes.
If your radio is tuned to Capital on 1548 AM, after the 10 o'clock news, you'll hear Sachs on Sunday with John Sachs.
If your radio's tuned to Capital on 95.8 FM, you'll hear Capital's new Sunday station, CFM. In super stereo.
Almost all radios can pick up Capital on both AM and on FM.
Capital Radio will now split frequencies. You're listening to the first ever broadcast of Capital CFM on 95.8 FM in super stereo.
And good morning, it is 10 o'clock, it is Capital CFM 95.8 for the very first time. I'm Roger Scott, and as you can hear behind me, our studio is not quite complete. Let's see what everybody's doing. Let me introduce...
Capital splitting its AM simulcast from FM long before the permanent split. Half a dozen stations split their frequencies in that experiment, including Leicester Sound with a trial of evening Asian programming, and Clyde trying out a weekend Clyde FM. 2 years ago, the BBC's Robert Peston guested on Five Live at breakfast time, live from his home. And those sorts of domestic broadcasts can be interrupted.
And the other thing that he wants... my wife is shouting goodbye to me.
Bye. Could you tell her what's her name?
She's called Sean.
Bye, Sean.
Have a nice day.
Did she know about? Did she know about the credit crunch coming?
My wife knows about everything.
Robert Peston, and it's all the more poignant to hear that now, knowing Robert was to lose his wife Sian just months later. More sound insulation issues this week in 1932, when Broadcasting House in London entered full service and they discovered that you could hear the concert organ in the other studios. And that wasn't the only issue. You couldn't get a piano through some doors, and the intimate atmosphere of Savoy Hill had gone. On the pirate radio front this week in 1966, more stations arrived in the dark, deep North Sea. And from a ship called the Laissez-Faire, this American-backed station turned on its transmitters.
And this station for the British Isles, swinging Radio England. Time now is 3:30 on May the 3rd, 1966. First day on the air for swinging Radio England.
Swinging Radio England.
Swinging Radio England, starting transmissions alongside Britain Radio from the same ship this week in 1966. The British presenters were played tapes of the American ones, the Bass Jacks, and told to sound just like them.
Today you've heard broadcasts from Bill Berry, Boom Boom Brannigan, Tom Cooper, and yours truly, Roger Day. And I speak for myself, and I'm sure I speak for all of them. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks for having us in your home.
Thank you, Roger Day, still on air after all these years. James Whale is one of those time-served British talk jocks who's never gone the American way. But this week, 6 years ago, he left Talk Sport a little suddenly following this.
Well, it has to be...
You're not allowed to say.
Say what?
Who you should vote for.
What was I... How do you know what I was going to say?
Well, I know what you're going to say.
Boris Johnson. What?
Did you say something?
What? I didn't say anything.
Boris Johnson.
James Whale and his comments on TalkSport just before the election for the London Mayor this week in 2008. It's 20 years this week since Monty Modlin died. He was a Cockney roving reporter heard on Radio 4 on Start the Week, and before that, actually, in the early, more cheerful days of the Today programme. You could also have heard him as an unlikely member of the Capital launch team.
The barriers are up, it's closed, we've just had a delivery, but you must have a passenger and a gallon for each person. To our Capital girls, the password is Capital 539, and then you'll have a car sticker put on the back. So come in now.
Capital in 73 with Monty Modlin. And Monty was also to go on to LBC.
Now, first of all, thank you for all your letters and phone calls and inquiries. At last, we shall be together again tonight at 9.
Farewell, Monty Modlin, 20 years ago this week. Radio commentary is always a risk. Things can go wrong with what you're observing, and when they do, it's your job, sometimes unexpectedly, to put that into words. This week, in 1937, the Hindenburg caught fire. That was a German passenger airship. 35 people died.
Oh, 400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around here. I don't do it.
Commentary from this week, 77 years ago, Herbert Morrison's eyewitness report for WLS in Chicago, recorded on the day, broadcast the next day. 38 years ago, Johnny Walker announced he was quitting Radio 1. It was said he'd had a bit of a strop after being told to pretend to like the Bay Street Rollers. Oh, lovely stuff. And staying with music, this same week of that sunshine year of 76 saw a couple of Radio 1 presenters reach number 3 in the charts. DLT and Paul Burnett from Radio 1 as Laurie Lingo and the Dipsticks with Convoy GB chart-bound this week in 1976. How long has gardening been on the radio? Well, this week in 1931, the first gardening programme was aired. It was called The Week in the Garden and was presented by C.H. Middleton.
Well, how do you like this for a bit of spring weather? Perhaps I shall get rid of my winter cold if we get a month or two of this. It's wonderful what a difference a day or two can make, isn't it, in the garden. I had a look at Wisley last night, or yesterday evening.
Mr. Middleton, as he was known with that first gardening show 83 years ago this week. And the programme became actually one of the first where the presenter ad-libbed around notes rather than reading a script. Mr. Middleton's life is now marked by a commemorative wrought iron gate at the BBC Written Archive Centre in Caversham. So, with Chrysalis acquiring Century 106 from GCAP 9 years ago, Capital acquiring Red Dragon in Cardiff 16 years ago for just over £18 million, and Mike Smith beginning on Radio 1 Breakfast 28 years ago.
Smithy.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Graham. And thank you, Roy. Next week, the Radio Today programme will be reviewing the inaugural Radio Academy Awards. And at the awards evening itself, our team of researchers and reporters will be bringing you everything that happens as it happens. So stick with radiotoday.co.uk for all the latest news from the RAAs. I've been Trevor at trevordan.com. See you next time. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.